going on, everybody? Welcome to Certified Dubtitions, presented by Puck and Flamingo. My name is Andrew. This is my co-host Steve. How you doing, buddy?
Great as always, man. Great as always.
Very nice. I hope one day you don't switch that up on me.
Oh, it will happen. Don't worry.
You'll have a bad day.
Yeah, maybe after when England loses.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Big match tonight.
Yeah, we got a little rivalry going on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I put money on Italy, so I've got a bet builder though. I need a good few things to happen.
Oh, there you go. Well, but, hopefully it works out for you, man. Even though I'm cheering for England.
Yeah, not for you.
I know. I got no money on it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right. So, anyways, today on today's episode of Certified Dubtitions, we're going to talk about the final BC team, the last team in the BC division. Ooh. Yes, the Prince George Cougars. So if you're from PG and you've been sticking around, this is your time. Second, maybe one person.
Yeah.
The second team we're going to cover is the Everett Silvertips. So potentially one of the best teams in the WHL, or at least in the West.
US division, I think. Tied up there with Kamloops. I think they're kind of the 1-2 combo in the West. So,
yeah. Yeah, they are. So those will be the two teams to beat and the two teams to watch this year if you're a Vancouver Giants fan. Let's dive right in. First of all, I guess I just have... The first thing I have is Prince George's records, which aren't really... Yeah, they're not much to brag about over the last little while. But that being said, I mean, there have been some improvements. So first of all, last year they were 9-10-2, which is seventh in the West. Mm-hmm. Even though it was only, you know, divisions playing divisions last year, I'm still going to talk about the conference. Gives you a better idea. And then the year prior was more like a full season, and they went 20-34-4 and were ninth in the West. So a bit better this year, not much.
To a degree though, like if you look at this at the standings, the Rockets have one more point than the Prince George Cougars, but six games less played. Right. So they only had the 16 games, right? So I mean, yeah, they're looking a little bit better than the Royals. But I mean,
that's not saying much, is it?
it's not saying much at all. Like, to be perfectly honest here, there's not much really going on for them. Well, it could turn around. They do kind of have a bright future, but we'll get into that a little bit, but
last year they had I mean, the last few years, I think, but last year specifically, scoring's been a big problem for them. Mm-hmm. They had 57 goals for last year, which was fourth worst in the WHL. There weren't many teams that did worse than that. Royals were one. I can't remember the others, to be honest with you, off the top of my head. But
yeah, I mean, losing guys like Josh Macer, who had 29 goals that season. Nobody even came close to it. Yeah. Mikhail Tkachuk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be butchering a lot of these names to these guys. I tried my best, but just so you guys know,
you're like the Don Cherry of Certified Dubtitions.
100%. Yeah. But that was a huge loss for him, right? And 48 points. Nobody even came clear. I think the next top scorer was Cole Mulberg with 13, and then Mikhail Tkachuk with 12, right? So it completely dropped off. And even Josh Macer with 48 points was still a negative 27, which was the worst on their team. But I mean,
both those guys aged out last year, right? So
those are, exactly. So that's kind of, that was a huge hit for them.
Mm-hmm.
As you like, the leading scorer this year was a 17-year-old with 21 games played, 7 goals, 6 assists. Mm. That was their leading scorer. So you take away 29 goals and replace it with seven.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
Even, yeah, right. I mean,
they were the second youngest team in the WHL last year.
Yeah. Which is why the bright spot is something to look forward to for Prince George here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some up and comers.
Yeah, they had a nice bump in the Bantam draft too. They I can't remember. I think they bumped up two places to second overall.
Yeah,
And they took Riley Hyde Heed. That's a name I couldn't pronounce either.
Mm-hmm. They also picked up in the in the 2020 season. They picked up Caden Brown in the first pick.
Yeah.
He's from Delta, had 35 goals, 30 assists, 65 points in 30 games. So
they had five first round picks in the last 2 years. So
exactly. And they're loaded up too.
Yeah.
Continue on from here, which is pretty nice. Having that depth to be able to bring in these young guys and build a solid team around that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things that OHL fans or people watching, you gotta understand, is that we mentioned previously on the other podcast here, just the window that teams have, right? It's a short window. You can't make a dynasty team that's gonna last 4 or 5 years, right? So sometimes you got to kind of pull the plug, get rid of a lot of your old guys. I think they're only keeping one 19 or 20-year-old around, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think they have that many.
I think they're only keeping one 20-year-old around. So it opens up a lot of space for these young guys to come score or make a difference, right? So, I mean, mm-hmm. their top three scorers were 17, 16, and 17, one being a defenseman, Ethan Sampson. So, I think in a 2-3-year process here, they could turn around and be a top BC team.
Yeah, they have the potential there for sure. Their goals per game last season was only 2.59, that's still up from 2.32 and 2.23 the years prior. But
that has to do with games played too, right? I mean, well, you're only playing.
That's an average.
Games.
Sorry.
Yeah, so it's an average of there, right? So
of course you get tired if you play more games, obviously.
Exactly. Injuries, other things along that line. Streaks, right? So they may have had a good streak in that time, maybe an 89 game streak that they played well, and then or played above what they were projected to be.
Yeah.
And then boost that up a little bit, right? So
they did have a major improvement though for goals against average.
Which is huge.
2.81, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a big boost for the Cougars anyway. In the bright spots. So let's talk about a couple 16-year-olds. I think one's turning 17 now. He had a rookie campaign last year. I don't know if you looked up on him, Steve, here, but Cohen Zimmer.
Oh yeah.
He was actually a rookie of the year finalist last year.
Yes.
Which is a pretty big deal. He's a right-hand shot, right wing. I saw a couple different stats for his height and weight, but I got 5'10". I got 5'10", 201.
I got 6'2", 201. So,
yeah. I think you probably got that from Elite Prospect, right?
Quant Hockey.
Okay. Yeah. I got mine from Elite, and the other one was on the WHL site, or maybe it was the... Anyways, but yeah, I saw 6 foot as well.
Either way, he's probably in that range between, maybe he's 5'11", just saying he's 6 foot,
Yeah. And sorry, actually, it said 5'10", 209 pounds. 6 foot said 201, right?
I got this. Yeah, 6 foot, 201. So,
yeah. So those are the two stats.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, 9 goals, 3 assists, 12 points in 22 games played. He had 49 shots on goal.
You impress me, though. His shooting percentage was 18.4.
Yeah.
Which is pretty high for a rookie. Right. That he's making more like the most of his chances and bearing the shots he needs to bury, right? So someone to look forward to.
Yeah, and he's not eligible for the NHL draft till 2023. So he's got a good couple more years, at least 2-3 more years.
Yeah,
potentially four.
Around.
Depending on his birthday, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, but I think he turns 17 this fall. I saw so.
Yeah, he's 16 right now, but he'll turn 17.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who doesn't, though, we mentioned him already. I think he turned 17 next January or something like that. Hyde, if that's how you say it. Second overall Bantam draft selection for the Prince George Cougars last year. Now, he only had 37 points in 44 games last year in Bantam. In his last year in Bantam, he only had 37 points in 44 games, which, I mean, it's decent, but it's nothing to brag about. A second overall pick, right?
Yeah. Usually those, we get a lot of these guys coming up Bantam, they're putting up 2 points a game.
Right. So
for example, like Caden Brown.
So in the 2 years prior, he had 58 goals, 95 apples. In 62 games played. So,
oh well, well, there it is.
There it is. Yeah,
that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, so he just had an off year. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Maybe injury. Maybe making adjustments.
Played 44 games. Yeah, maybe he could have been playing hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. Never know something along the lines.
But yeah, that. Yeah. So, I didn't write down the 20 point totals in my maths, but nearly 170. 160 points.
Yeah.
Games.
Don't ask me, man. Matt's not my strong suit.
Yeah. His numbers weren't they weren't last year in the dub. They weren't, numbers of Bedard and Jagger for the Pats and Warriors. I mean, those guys are very impressive and their numbers were off the charts. But he had a pretty good season, and the GM was quick to praise him and back him up. Like, he was playing against the top lines every night in the BC division.
Yeah. And you're playing the same guys every game, right? So they can pick up on your traits faster. You know what I mean? If you play the same team, same thing as like a seven game series in the playoffs or something, the games seem to get tighter and tighter as it goes along, right?
Yeah.
Just because being able to kind of pick up and read these guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and look, he's someone to look forward to. I think he could have. There's a lot of potential there for him to take off, especially on this young Prince George Cougars team.
Yeah, I mean, they are a very, very young team. Like you said, I think they're their second youngest in the WHL. But they're going to need their 20-year-olds to step up, guys like Johnny Hooker or Tyson Upper, Connor Bowie or Ethan Brown. Those type of guys are going to need to kind of pick up their game and help lead the Zimmers and the Armstrongs and the Samsons, the 16, 17-year-olds, right? I don't think they can rely on these guys to be their leading scorers, and some of these older guys need to kind of step up to help out in that aspect. One thing we haven't really talked about too that I kind of want to get into is their goaltending.
That was definitely next on my list. You go ahead and start that one off.
I mean, it's kind of crazy here for those who don't know who Taylor Gauthier. He's been a top goalie in WHL and earned a spot on Canada's World Junior team last year. He's not drafted by NHL team yet, which is absolutely absurd to me. I don't know what you think about that, Bron, but I think this kid is one of the top goalies in the WHL, if not the CHL, and nobody's not really giving him the recognition that I think he deserves.
Yeah, look, I mean, he won silver with the World Juniors under 20 last year. I think the next goalie we're talking about won gold, but anyways, he was in the top prospect game, right? His last 3 years, These are the numbers I picked up, which first to answer your question. Yeah, I'm shocked. I can't believe he hasn't been drafted. I mean, yeah. He's posted a 915, 917, 914 in his last 2 years in juniors, or sorry, in the dub. That's including the World Junior Under 18 Championship.
Yeah. And for him to get passed on is it something about him? Like, is he just not a good person, which could be a possibility? I don't know, but I mean, teams are sleeping on him. But he posted, where is it here? Yeah, like a 915 with a 274 GA last year on a 9 in whatever where they won 9 games that year, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the goaltending's fault.
that could be a huge part of it too, right? The team he's on isn't doing great. So his numbers could be, you know, they could be better, I guess.
But to be able to have those numbers with that young of a team, like you are, that's gotta count for something, don't you think?
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know. Like, remember when I was going back a little bit, when Latvia made their kind of Olympic run there and their goalie stood on his head with like 50, right? Everyone knew how good that goalie was because he was playing for such a bad team, but kept his team in it, right? So I feel like it's the same type of principle with Gauthier.
Remember the fans were chanting his name and stuff.
Yeah, that was insane, man. He had what, like 55 shots or 60 shots by Young Canada and like 3 goals in or something. That was absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But
anyways, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not an NHL scout, so I don't know.
One day, maybe.
Yeah. What, me being a scout or him getting drafted?
Being a scout.
Yeah, probably not.
You can dream.
We could dream, yeah. But look, it's been a tough few years in the Cougars. I mean, in Prince George for the Cougars. You know, they made an all-in push in 2017.
Which didn't really work out for them too well.
No, they exited first round.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say they've got some overagers to figure out in the offense. But the younger talent is definitely moving in the right direction, you know. Potentially having the tandem of Gauthier and Brennan again. They could be a team that definitely takes a huge step forward next year.
Yeah, it's up there on my radar. There's someone that I'm excited to kind of watch and see where it is. I don't have high expectations, but they could burst out and who knows, right? They have that potential to do so if everything kind of comes together for them.
Yeah, I mean they'll also welcome Caden Brown and Riker Singer. Mm-hmm. The, you know, 2020 first round picks. They'll make the lineup next year. They've got a plethora, today's word of the day, a plethora of draft assets, you know. So
you gotta give credit to the front office then. You think about, they went all in at 2017, you know, giving away either draft picks or prospects to kind of make a push for that. And then to be able to rebuild like that with as many draft picks as they have. Yeah. And like you said, 2 first rounders in 2020. Riker Singer is someone to look out for. I mean, he has a point per game in 4 games for the under 18 Lloydminster Bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in the under 15 for the Bobcats, he had 51 points in 32 games. So he's going to be someone to kind of keep out. I mean, Caden Brown, I think, is that prospect for them. But it's, they need to have these guys pick up like Josh Masers and Michael Chuck's play, right? Mikhail Chuck, sorry.
Mikhail Chuck, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, in terms of draft picks, they have loads coming up. They've got all their draft picks in the first 5 rounds for the next 2 drafts. That's including 15th overall next December. So, mm-hmm. you know, they haven't lost any assets in that area. They've also got a 3rd round pick from the Red Deer Rebels, I believe. Winnipeg's 3rd round in 2021 and Red Deer's 3rd round in 2022. So, yeah, the future could be bright. You know, they probably won't be the division favorite for the next year or two, but they look like a team that they could contend, especially in British Columbia in the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the top two in BC, I think, is going to be the Blazers and Giants. Blazers on top, obviously, but they could be there. Like they're not far off, which is why it's kind of they're a lot closer than the Royals.
Yeah,
right. I feel like their front office is doing a good job and just try and put the best team out there for their fans, right? So anyone listening, Prince George, make sure you guys go out and watch a few games. I know I'm gonna try to pick them up when they come down here.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. It'll be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, if you're in Prince George, like, geez, you could get in on the ground level, you know.
Yeah.
This is the exciting time where you get to see where these, you know, the coin is spinning, and now you get to see if it's heads or tails, you know.
Jump on the wagon before everyone else does.
Right, exactly. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the fan base is like. We'll have to give a shout out to Gordo. I'll see what the fan base is like in Prince George. I'm sure they have a good fan base.
Yeah, I think they picked up completely a little bit off topic, but they don't have much up in Prince George for sports teams, but they did pick up a junior team for football. So
nice.
Shout out to them. They're joining the BCFC. So
cool.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, check out some games if you're in Prince George. I mean, why not?
And if you're in Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be on my radar for teams come through for sure. Mm-hmm. Speaking of teams coming through, we're gonna slide away from the BC division. We're gonna stay in the West, and we're gonna go a bit south. Now things get interesting down south. Teams get good.
Yeah, it's a much closer competition than it is kind of in the BC division.
Yeah, we didn't see them last year. Because of the bubble. Mm-hmm. But this year we will. And we'll see a lot of them because we're only playing the West. So
yeah. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, yeah. And again, if you've missed the start of the podcast, we're talking about the Everett Silvertips.
Go ahead. The US division. Yeah, they're leading the US division, 19 wins, 38 points. To put that in perspective, the Blazers had 36 points with 18 wins, but not as good as the Oil Kings with 20 and 41 points. But they destroyed that U.S. division. The Winter Hawks being second with 29 points. But what really impressed me with the Silvertips, and I don't know if you got this too, was their goals against. It was second lowest in the league or in the WHL. With 45 goals against, only second to the Oil Kings with 41.
Impressive stat.
I mean, if the other team is a scorer, you have a really good chance of winning, right? So, I mean,
they're the good depth team. The both ends of the ice, they're a legit contender to win the league. You know.
Yeah.
They went 19-4-0, like you mentioned. I don't know if you mentioned that, but you mentioned how many points they had. They got their fifth division, that which, like you mentioned, I think you said they won the U.S. division. That's their fifth division banner in 7 years, you know.
Impressive.
Yeah, they had a .826 point percentage. That's best in franchise history. 3.95 goals against. Goals per game average, and improved their goals against, like you mentioned. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel those goals against will rise this year with the departure of Dustin Wolf.
Yeah, which is huge.
And what people don't understand too is I think you said there's five banners in the last 7 years. Well, it's pretty easy to win banners when you have your goaltenders as Carter Hart, and then right after that, Dustin Wolf comes in here.
Yeah.
And for And for those who don't know who Dustin Wolf is, you should, because he posted an 18-3 record with a 1.80 goals against average, a 940 save percentage, four shutouts.
Four shutouts. Yeah.
So
18-3-0.
That's insane. 0.1 goals against. He's letting less than two in. And like I said, you're going to win games if the other team can't score, right? It's just facts.
World Junior gold with the team Team USA. They beat Canada and like we were saying earlier, he's WHL top goalie of the year 2 years in a row, back to back. Best save percentage, back to back. Best goals against average, back to back. WHL All-Star times two, and he was drafted by the Calgary Flames.
Yeah. But it's kind of funny. I guess before this, his season before, to put this in perspective, the season before the pandemic season, the COVID season, we should call it, he had 34 wins, 10 losses, and nine shutouts, man. He almost had as many shutouts as he had losses.
He's gonna be spat my water out there over my mic. He's gonna be
is he the second coming of Carter Hart? Yeah, is he the second? Like, that's my question.
He could be better. Didn't Carter Hart like really drop the ball last year?
His last year, I don't know about that. I didn't get too much into Carter Hart's
NHL season. Year.
Yeah. Oh, you mean with? You mean in the WHL or
in the NHL? Oh,
yeah. I'm still a Carter Hart fan.
Yeah. I thought he hit the trade wire in our pool. I thought you couldn't sell him at one point.
No, I never had him. I had John Gibson. I was sad. Yeah. but I mean, yeah, for this kid, Calgary, you guys are lucky. He's someone that's gonna come in. The only kind of thing that gave me a little worried about is that when he played for the Stockton Heat, which is the AHL team for the Calgary Flames, he played three games. He had a 2-1 record, but he put a 3.24 goals against and only 8.95 save percentage, not even a 900. I mean, just below. Yeah. But you jump in a goalie's, like we all know, goalies take a while to develop, and being, you know, a 19, 20 year old going against 16, 17, 18 year olds, and then jumping to the AHL where there's bona fide pro players that have been playing the, you know, in and out of the league for 10 years. It's a big jump to make. So yeah. I wouldn't look too much into it, but he's someone to keep a lookout, especially if you're a Calgary fan.
Definitely something to note. Yeah. Especially if you're a Calgary fan and anyone in the Pacific Division, better watch out. It makes me nervous. You know, then they have, and I mean, now they have Markstrom in there too in Calgary with, you know, he'll be there for
five more years,
right?
Which
would be perfect timing for Dustin Wolf to kind of start making appearances in the crease.
I see him breaking through in the next 3 years here, maybe being back up to Markstrom.
I would say, I'd say he'd spend 2 years as Markstrom's backup, so maybe. Maybe the last year of Markstrom's contract, second to last year of Markstrom's contract, maybe. And then Markstrom might get a smaller deal after. I don't know.
That little breach. Who knows? I mean, as much as I love Markey, like, don't get me wrong, huge fan. Loved him in Vancouver here. Injuries, man. Injuries. I don't know how much longer he can do what you do getting older with those injuries that are coming around. So maybe they have to push him through this Dustin Wolf through the system a little bit quicker than he'd be. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully as a Canucks fan.
Hopefully they do.
You know, because goalies are a weird breed, man. It's a lot. It's really mental for them. And if they get shell shocked or lose their confidence, you know, it goes downhill fast and it's hard to break out, right? As a forward, if you don't score, there's other things you can do. You can make plays, you can get the puck to the net, you can, you know, do this. As a goalie, if you don't stop pucks, you're not doing anything for your team. So a little bit more pressure in that sense of things, I guess. But
that's fair, yeah. Another player I kind of want to talk about was Gage Goncalves. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
So you're not the only one that butchers names.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm not the only one, sorry.
Goncalves, yeah. So he, I mean, look, this guy, he had a breakout season a couple years ago. He kind of proved it wasn't a fluke. He's from Maple Ridge. He's a center, left-handed shot. In 1920, he had 71 points in 60 games played. 2021, he had 34 points in 23 games played. He played two games up in the AHL. He had 1 point. He was drafted at number 62 by Tampa Bay. Now,
he was negative three in those two games too.
Yeah, yeah. But he'll be, I think he's moving. He's starting his pro career now.
Hopefully. Yeah, it's like you said, it's a tough transition to make. But
so that's the reason I wanted to bring him up, because I think Wolf's going to wherever Calgary's farm team is now.
Stockton Heat.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Bryce Kindop aged out as well. So but they kept many pieces intact. So these are all the players we're talking about leaving Everett now. But look, they have a core that's still good.
Yeah, I mean, there are shoes to fill, though, like you said, with Cole Fonstad. I think he was a leader in that locker room, someone they could kind of look up to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their leading goal scorer with 16. Someone needs to kind of fill those shoes to be able to put the puck in the net.
And yeah,
my pick and who I think needs to kind of step up is Jackson Bear, again, probably butchers his name, Berezowski.
Yeah.
He was 18-year-old last year with 7 goals, 14 assists, 21 points. But I think he's going to be the guy that needs to take that next step on the front end to be able to kind of lead this team. They also lose a key defenseman too, which is rough for them, which is Gianni Fairbrother. Mm. The Montreal Canadiens prospect ended up on the team tying for defensive scoring lead with Rohan Seeley, who was the 7th-round pick by the Hurricanes and en route to the NHL. So having two guys that are, NHL caliber players, leaving your back end is going to leave huge holes, especially with losing Dustin Wolf, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this before. The next goalie to step in line is pretty unproven. They haven't really been tested. So as much as they've been dominating the U.S. division, I don't know how long they can keep this up. It's going to be really interesting to see. I want to see how they can play against the BC division, how they stack up that way.
I have two points I want to make to what you've just said before I lose it. So the first is the defenseman. Now, yeah, of course, the big shoes to fill, but someone who has actually proven himself already is Olin Zellweger. Mm-hmm. Right, that guy's been, now he had 12 points in 58 games as a rookie, which is nothing to brag about. He's a defenseman.
Yeah.
But last year, he had 13 points in 11 games played. Okay. And then he went on to post 8 points in 7 games played for Canada, winning gold for the U18.
Yep.
He's projected for the second round of the NHL entry draft this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like you say they lose a key piece, but this is not like other teams we've talked about, and some other teams we've talked about, they lose a key piece and we're sitting here wondering who's going to fill the shoes. For the core parts of in Everett, the forwards and the defensemen anyways, mm-hmm. they have the players that they're tiered very well. They have their rookies, then they have their guys who are ready to step up to the next level, and then they have the guys who are aging out. And everyone's kind of sliding in appropriately at this stage.
You're right. I agree. I do agree with you on that aspect.
That does bring me to my second point, though, which you were kind of going on. It's going to be a new era for the Silvertips, not only because now their goaltending is kind of up in the air. You know, they went from Carter Hart to Dustin Wolf, and now kind of, I don't know.
Unproven. We don't know.
Unproven, right.
But Evan May, maybe, but he's 16, right? He was 16, turning 17 this year.
Yeah.
You probably have to go with Braden Holt, but even then, 2 games played last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and not only this now, kind of where I was leaning more towards their front office, their general manager, Gary Davidson, he would not have his contract renewed. So, you know, he kind of said that restructuring the team's hockey operations due to COVID-19 was kind of the reason for that. So in the meantime, head coach Dennis Williams will be taking on a general manager role for the interim basis, and head scout Mike Fraser, has been promoted to director of player personnel. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the first time that Everett's had somebody else calling the shots for a long time.
Yeah. Now I guess the question is, are they able to kind of go with the, are they going to completely change the way they do things in there? Or is he just slide into a role seamlessly? You know what I mean? Like, is
it going to be a shakeup?
You know, is it going to, you know, yeah. If you're an Everett fan, hopefully not. But
Davidson went to, he got a position.
The Hitman, I believe.
Yeah. Calgary Hitman, yeah. Director of player personnel. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see how it pans out. If he's, I wish I saw, did you see how long he's been part of that organization? I think it's been a long time. I didn't see, but.
It's been a while. I didn't get the exact date, but something that's honestly kind of interesting, mm-hmm. is that Everett's never missed the playoffs since entering the league in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's hard to bet against a team like that.
Yeah.
And like you said, they have these layers. They have like a layer system where, you know, Fairbrother's leaving to go play for the Canadians, but then you have Zellweger coming right up underneath, right, like filling that spot, right? And mm-hmm. the great thing about him is that he only had two penalty minutes,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's not taking penalties, he's not putting the team down, and he's positive point per game defenseman at 17 years old. I mean, so he's going to be the one to kind of step into that role, which will be kind of fun to watch. I believe Seeley is coming back. I don't know if you heard anything different on that. I'm pretty sure he's coming back, the seventh round pick by the Hurricanes. So that's going to be a top D pairing to kind of look out for.
Him and Zellweger will kind of be a 1-2 punch for sure.
100%.
And a heck of a 1-2 punch. Like,
but they're going to need to be, because their goaltending is in the air.
That's it.
But maybe they pull another rabbit out of their hat, another Carter Hart or Dustin Wolf that, you know.
I would be absolutely floored if they could do that.
Who knows, man? It just seems the way they're going.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that kind of goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, the one downside, really, I think, other than the hockey operations end, and we don't know if that's a downside yet, sorry, but, you know, mixing things up usually takes some time to get back in a groove. Their draft picks, now, they currently have a 20th overall pick in the first round, but their only other selection in the first 5 rounds is a 3rd-round pick from Seattle for a goaltender, Brake Lita, in 2019. So things aren't great in 2022.
Yeah,
with only the first and the fifth pick. Yeah.
But I mean,
maybe they can make some trades.
Exactly right. It's not over yet. They seem. I think they're gonna make a decision off of how this team plays and how it comes together. Right. Mm-hmm. New front office. You know, maybe they want to roll with what's been put together and try making like another push, or that's the question. Like, they did such a good job of being able to keep an extended team every year. Or is this front office be able to keep that same trend going? Right. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard to bet against them though.
Yeah. I'd say this year, probably definitely. I mean, it's probably a safe bet to say they'll be a legit contender.
Top two team at least,
right?
In the division, if not the best team in division, top two team in WHL or right. West Division.
But unlike the Prince George Cougars, where their trajectory seems to be heading up, it seems that Everett's is heading down. And they might be heading towards a rebuild.
It all comes down to goaltending. I know I said this probably 4 or 5 times, but
for the near future, I mean, yeah, definitely.
It has to be with that. So, but yeah, I mean, not much to say. We kind of went from a bottom dwelling team and the Cougars to a stacked team that's never missed the playoffs since 2003. Yeah,
that's true. But like you said, they are heading in different directions, I believe, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be fun to watch if Prince George can be on top in the next couple of years here.
All right, so now we get to the fun part of the show where Steve and I take both teams and we pick the best players from each, put them in a position, and build an all-star team. Now, Steve just told me off the record that he's built his a little differently. Now, I'm going to take a stab at this one, Steve. My guess is that you built a team that could outfight my goal scorers.
How did you know?
That's what you did, isn't it?
It's 100% what I did.
Yeah, you said, I'm just going to throw guys on the ice that are going to clean.
If your team's hurt, they can't score, right?
Well, because, I mean, there's a lot of goons that played for Prince George.
Yeah.
Everett didn't have that much of an impressive, which is surprising for all their success.
Was it too bad? I mean, obviously the bigger names coming out of Prince George, but also Prince George being around a lot longer, right? Everett only coming in 2003. Right. But like you said, it's kind of weird considering how good their team's been, and not to have the all-star studs that they normally have, or that other teams would have.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do it. Let's start it off. Look, you've been going first these last two times, so I'll start this time.
I like it.
I think, as soon as I saw these rosters, I knew I had to bulk up my fighters as well, Steve, because I knew that's what you'd be doing. So we'll start on left wing. I put the boogeyman, Derek Boogaard.
Oh,
yeah.
You went your scores, eh?
My scores, yeah. I put the boogeyman on the wing. I needed some beef up front. I've got a lot of beef up front, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Look, I mean, Derek Boogaard, he had 277 games played in the NHL, 589 penalty minutes. Not a big goal scorer, had 3 goals, but he could chuck nucks, that guy. So
rest in peace.
Now, obviously, we're talking about chucking nucks and all these things, but that it was a different game back then.
Mm-hmm. Those guys were needed.
Yeah, I'm happy with the way the game's gone. They're still fighting, but anyways, we'll get into that in our Gary Bettman debate, I think. So Boogaard played in Prince George from 1999 to 2002, where he went on to Minnesota Wild and the New York Rangers. So yeah,
he's a tough guy.
as definitely a bully. So I put him on my left side to complement my right side, who can also chuck knucks. Now you might have this guy on your back end.
I think he kind of just threw it out there.
But he was a right winger in Chicago. So I put Dustin Byfuglien. Where'd you put him? Did you have him on your roster?
Our team's the same so far.
So far, you put Byfuglien on your Byfuglien
on my right wing and Bugard on my left.
Nice. Yeah.
I thought it was going completely different from you this time. I was like, I'm going this. Bruins want to take all the superstars. Yeah. I wish there was a few there that you could have picked up, but so far we're kind of on the same page.
Yeah, he spent 2002 to 2005 with the Prince George Cougars. Then he played for Chicago, Atlanta, and Winnipeg with 758 games played.
Win the cup in 2009.
Yeah.
2009-10.
Stanley Cup champion. That's right. 165 goals. He was a big part of their cup run.
Yeah.
I remember he was such a thorn in our side. Yeah.
Just planted in front of the net, and his hand die and his ability to just screen a goalie or take two defensemen need to move that guy. He was huge, right? I mean, he was probably pushing close to 280 pounds at one point, right?
Yeah.
I think he was playing defense, he's a lot bigger. But
do you have honorable mentions for the wing?
I do have two honorable mentions.
Yeah, go on.
One is someone I actually met in real life. One of my buddies is friends with them. I met him up in Prince George, Brett Connolly.
Nice. He's on my
And for a little bit of the older guys around our age, the 30-year-olds, Devin Setoguchi. He had that good season with San Jose there, a season or two. He was kind of, I think he had 50 goals almost or close to. He was up there with one of his seasons. He produced quite well.
Yeah.
But those are my two honorable mentions for the wings.
Yeah. And I think, did I have one? I thought I had one more. I think you're right. I mean, I definitely had those two. Oh, no, he's on the back end I had. So
I have one more as well. I just want to give a little shout out to Allgrove Zone Cam Abney. He played for the Silver Ticks in 07 to 2010. And then he went to the Oil Kings, I believe. For those who don't know, he has probably one of the best fights on YouTube. If you look up Cameron Abney versus Taylor Jordan, he absolutely punches him. And Taylor Jordan was one of the heavyweights of the WHL, and Abney was a rookie. So shout out to Cameron Abney. Get drafted by the Oilers. I think he got traded to the Maple Leafs, and then kind of spent his career in the ECHL before retiring. But I just want to shout out the local Aldergrove kids. So
cool. I didn't know he played in Everett, to be honest.
Yeah, I used to hang out with him back in the day. Kind of know a little bit, but he played for Everett for a bit. His rookie season.
And then up the middle I had Zach Hamill.
Yep.
Did you as well?
Sure did.
Oh man.
Nice. Man, we're just on the same link today, buddy.
Hopefully we have different goalie. We're gonna have the same goalie too. Hopefully we have different defensemen.
I've only said that goalie's name probably about 15 times.
there's a few defensemen we could choose from. One of our defensemen will definitely be the same.
Yeah.
Hopefully our second is not. So on the I'll just say it, Zdeno Chara.
The big man.
Yeah. He also played in Prince George. I think my lineup is all Prince George heavy except for
The goalie.
The goaltending, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually is my other defenseman. He might be
I have, I have honorable mention for the Silver Tips, but both my defensemen are Prince George as well.
Okay, who's your Silver Tips honorable mention? Because I'll
Ryan Murray,
Ryan
Murray,
he
was a stud. I think he was top rated prospect and then picked second overall, maybe first overall. I can't remember what it was, but he was a high draft pick in the NHL. Still a solid defenseman. Nothing crazy, but a solid second pairing defenseman.
Yeah. Devin Setoguchi, I just saw him there. I totally forgot about him. Good shout.
Yeah, man. I always put him in there, but I put Bugard because I was like, he's not going to pick Bugard.
Yeah, I did. Surprise. All right, so we'll start goal. We'll go goaltending because I know those are the same as well. Carter Hart.
Yeah.
You had to, but I mean,
there is one more.
Yeah.
There was one more. I don't Justin know if you got him too. I went next level up with Chris Mason.
Oh, Chris Mason.
Yeah. So I had Justin Pogge. Yeah, he was a good Team Canada world or under 20 Team Canada goaltender. Yeah. Hasn't done too much. I think he's in Toronto.
In the NHL. No, he had 7 games played.
Yeah. But a really good WHL goalie for sure.
Yeah.
That's why I gave the edge to Mason.
Chris Mason, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 909 save percentage, 23 career shutouts. Yeah. Yeah.
So who's your last D-man? I'm really curious about this.
All right. So to see if we have the same team or not. If we have the same team, it's a total tie. What happens then?
I don't know, man. I'm really surprised where we're at. I think we picked the same defenseman. I think we picked it up too. You want to say on the same time on the count of three?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go, and then we'll say it. So
all right.
3, 2, 1, go. Dan Hammer.
Sheldon Surrey. I had Hammer and I crossed him out.
Oh yeah, Surrey's a good one. Sheldon Surrey. I also Eric Brewer too. He was in there, a little bit of an older guy.
Yeah, he was
Edmonton fans. He was a captain. Key piece of the 04. Yeah.
Also a captain for the St. Louis Blues for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For the Blues, yeah. But he did play for the Edmonton, I believe.
Correct
me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that.
Yeah, he played for a good few teams. Yeah, he did. He played for the Islanders, the Oilers, the Blues, the Lightning, the Ducks, and the Maple Leafs. Over 1,000 career games played.
Yeah. That's nice. So who else do we have? Sheldon Surrey or Dan Hammes? I mean,
yeah, Sheldon Surrey.
He's OG. He's I remember him. What, he had like the hardest shot with that wood stick back in like whatever it was, like late 2000s or something like that.
I was looking at their stats now here if I can find it. So Sheldon Surrey had 300 points, right? He had 1100 penalty minutes. And Ham Hughes had 319 points, 588 penalty minutes, but Sheldon Surrey did it in 200 less games.
Yeah. See, he's that. What I kind of like about Sheldon Surrey being in there for you is he kind of complements the team offensively a little bit more than Dan Hamhuis does.
Mm-hmm.
And with our line, it's not like we were having, you know, top end high quality scoring. Zach Hamill, who has 87 goals, 175 assists, 262 points in 250 games, was also a stud in junior or WHL, sorry. Playing from 03 to 08, but he was, I think he got WHL rookie of the year or something in 03.
Yeah.
He was no slouch. And still a top forward in the NHL today. But after that, it kind of drops off with Bugard and Bufflin on our way. It's not too fast, right? So I think maybe Surrey might be the better pick, but let us know in the comments here if you'd rather have Dan Hamhuis or even Ryan Murray.
I think the people would rather have Hammer, I'm sure, local. It'll be bias, yeah.
You can't go wrong, man. You got to go with the BC boy.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome. Well, thanks, man. That was great. Good episode. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. You can catch us a little bit later. We're going to do a great debate. We're going to be talking Gary Bettman. I'll fill everybody in shortly. And yeah, that's it for Certified Dubticians. Next week we got Canucks Corner. We got a Canucks Corner special next week. Bam.
First one. And we have a special guest coming on too. So you can listen to someone else's voice besides our
Yeah, I see someone else's face for once.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm really excited for that. And it's also a big week in NHL there, right? So yeah, there'll be a big week in the NHL.
We got two weeks in a row. I think we're doing Canucks Corner. We're gonna talk pre-draft, we're gonna talk post-draft, we're gonna talk Sedins, we're gonna talk everything in between. So,
and if you guys have anything you want us to talk about, topic wise, you know, just let us know. And we can try to, you know, help you out there and dig in and do the research for you. Spend the hours and hours looking into it where you guys can reap the benefits of it. So,
yeah, especially if it's debatable.
Oh, especially if we have different sides on that debate too.
Yeah. So, send us a DM, you know, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. And don't forget, kids, keep your skate on the ice.